You're listening to She's the Business podcast.
Are most of the referrals that you receive accidental, as in they just come in various times from your network of family, friends, or other people that you maybe have a relationship with online in some way? Well, if they are, and if the quality of those referrals is not always the best, maybe not always the right type of client or the right sort of project that you really want to be working on, then it's a sign that you could get much more strategic about how you manage your referral relationships and how you actually get those referral partners, we'll say, or people who are referring to you to refer you the right sort of clients and the right work that you really want to be doing. So if this sounds like you, we've got a really great three-part process for you to how you get strategic. And it's coming up in today's episode. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Osborne. And in my 23 years of business and marketing, I've built many brands to become multi-billion dollar companies. And just in the last 10 years, I've built two online businesses of my own from my dining room table with two little babies running around at my feet. I've made it my mission to inspire you to get out of your own way and become the successful business owner who's living the lifestyle you really desire without all the hustle. This is She's the Business podcast, made by women for women. This is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration.
Today, my very special guest is Kara Steinman. Now, she is someone I've invited here onto the podcast because if anybody knows about relationships and referral-based relationships, then she is your lady. She's a business development strategist and she works with purpose-driven female service entrepreneurs. So she really understands this service-based business model because she's worked in agencies. She's an entrepreneur, works for herself as well as a service provider. She really understands the value and the power of great referrals. Yet so many people are not having what we would call really great referrals. They're just happening by accident. She firmly believes in the collective power of the women is key to dismantling the systems of oppression. She's made it her mission to remove obstacles that keep women separate so they can build more wealth and amplify the impact together. Kara is going to share with you today her signature approach, her unique approach of how she reverse engineered the way that she's built really strong referral networks that led to rapid referrals and way more ideal clients coming in the door. So without further ado, let's play this interview because I know that you, like me, can't wait to hear more about this. Okay, awesome. And I'm here with the lovely Kara Steinman. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kara. It's lovely to connect with you again. I know we've had a really great chat in the past, and I wanted to bring you on the podcast today because I think we've got a couple of conversations to have that we probably haven't had on the podcast to date that I can think of. And you are definitely the person to have this with. And that is all about referrals, referral relationships, getting strategic. And also, I know that you love to live on LinkedIn. That's kind of a favorite place that you hang out. And I want to dive into that a bit. You know, how do we really use it in a way that doesn't feel like awkward or heavy or in that place where people are just using it as a very strange platform to, I don't know, like beat their own chest. It feels a bit like that to me anyway, but that was a very long intro. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Awesome. Now, before we get started, because I know everyone wants to dive into this topic, but can you give us a bit about you? Like, what do you do in your business? Who do you help? And, you know, if you want to share a bit about how you even got into that, that'd be amazing as well.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So I'm Kara Steinman and I'm a business development consultant and I work with service-based female entrepreneurs who want to build strategic networks so they don't have to hustle so hard for leads and referrals. And I kind of fell into this after I pivoted a couple of years ago. I worked in content strategy and you know, digital marketing in a more general way after starting out as a specialist. And over the years, as I'm a curious person, I learned more and I started doing more, took a couple agency jobs where they were startups and I had to take on a lot of different hats. And I found myself in a space where I was a generalist after such a long period of time that digital marketing wasn't what it once was. Like when I took my first marketing class 20 years ago, you had to basically know how to code to build a website.
Totally. And then I did that in Dreamweaver, right?
Yeah. Dreamweaver. I always wanted to learn how to use Dreamweaver, and my brain doesn't work that way. Yeah. So, you know, it saved the internet from a lot of idiots like me who would have put up 10,000 websites because it was fun.
Oh my goodness.
But, I mean, that's eventually what happened. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Like fast forward to COVID, and you know, I think our internet bandwidth doubled at that point in time. And so everybody was losing their jobs or quitting their jobs and becoming, everybody's a marketer now, and everybody's a writer, and everybody's a designer. And there's just so much happening. I kind of had to start marketing for myself and I hated it. I just hated it. It was like, there was so much pressure to be on Instagram. And I remember one afternoon I was sitting in my office and I posted, because I don't post to Instagram a lot. I don't enjoy it. Mm. I posted to Instagram and I heard my son out in the living room and he goes, "Oh, mom, cringy." And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I know, I hate it. What am I doing?
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I just looked out the window and I was like, what are we doing? Like, posting all day about things that, like, I didn't enjoy it. Nobody's paying attention because there's too much noise. And then I found this podcast by Natalie Ekdahl on the Biz Chicks. She's got the Biz Chicks podcast, and she's talking about relationship marketing and how valuable it is to be a service-based entrepreneur and get referrals to do relationship marketing. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that I had not even had a website for the first 10 years I was working in marketing, because I was very niche, very specialized. Mm-hmm. I did fitness content marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and I worked with agencies and white labeled. It was a really niche specialized type of situation. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I had gotten away from that, it got harder to get referrals. And there was so much noise that people didn't trust you immediately online the way that they used to. Mm. So I kind of went back and realized that I was just brainwashed into thinking I had to market like I had been teaching big companies to market, when it really wasn't the most effective way for me to get business and build trust with my clients.
That's so true. And like, it was actually just yesterday, I was having that same thought of, you know, so many of us that come out of a space where we're working with bigger companies or working for bigger companies doing marketing, and you go into your own business and how much of that you bring with you, and you don't even kind of like think about it. Like, is this what I should be doing as a small business or micro business?
Yeah.
And like often the answer actually is no, but yet that's what we know. So it kind of is almost like this default, like, well, I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that because that's what I've seen. And that's what my experience of marketing has been. And it's just running people into the ground. They're doing overcooking it, overcomplicating the whole thing. Like, it doesn't need to be that complicated. Plus there's this whole thing you just mentioned about niching and the big companies, they don't need to because they've grown to that size. Right.
And yeah, I mean, if you're Coca-Cola, I mean, you do what you want to do. You're Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But if you, so I had gotten away from my specialty, but I also had disconnected from my network. I don't love in-person networking. So when COVID hit, the little bit of in-person networking that I was doing went away.
Yeah.
And I kind of really didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so I ended up creating a community online. Once I realized that I needed to double down on relationships, I created a community online called the Ravel Collective. And I put all the people that I wanted to connect with regularly, all the women that share my core values and are service entrepreneurs that I wanted to network, I put them in this community. I invited them in and I said, come hang out with me here. This is a container where we can learn how to specialize in niche and refer one another and have community as well. Mm. And that was like the best thing I ever did. I can't believe like what an amazing community it turned into, kind of on accident. Like one of my members attributes 90% of her revenue last year to referrals from inside that community.
Wow. That's so great. And, you know, something that I think is really important, and I'm hoping that you're going to touch on this today, is, you know, intentional referral relationships as opposed to referrals, because there's a huge difference. And, you know, I often find I'm working with people who are like, oh, a lot of my business is referral based, but they're not leading this relationship. They haven't done anything. They're just sort of getting random bits and bobs coming in from, you know, family, friends, like networks and all of this stuff. And to be fair, the quality is not great because it's not really being led or being directed by the person. It's just kind of coming in by osmosis. And so you're getting in this place where where you probably found yourself when you like went online and, you know, sort of lost that niching specialty. People don't really know what it is you do. They're like, oh, marketing, you need someone in marketing. I think I know someone that does marketing. And yeah. then they like refer you in and it's like, whoa, that fit is not a great fit, but yes, you could do it. Yes, you can help that client. And you end up taking on all these clients that aren't really the right fit for you. They're not great. And that's what I yeah. call referrals by accident. I'm hoping that what you're going to share with us today is a lot more about how you actually be really intentional and strategic about referrals, because they can be absolutely fantastic. I think it's like, would you say, I'm going to go and just make up a number. I reckon 95% of people are not doing it the way to get the actual right sort of clients. They're just sort of taking in referrals and wondering where the next one's coming from.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I did put together a framework. One of the gals in my community was like, I want to do relationship marketing. And I was like, well, that's what we're here for. And right. she was like, but how do you do it? How do you do it? And so I actually had to sit down and like have all this paperwork that has all these frameworks and like plans and notes, because I was like, had to work backwards. How did that work back in the day? And like knowing what I know, I have a psychology degree and I'm obsessed with human behavior. So I was like, based on what I know about people and how they bond and why would someone take action to send business to you? So like, I kind of put that together and reverse engineered it and came up with this framework that I'm calling the rapid referrals roadmap.
Okay.
Maybe too many R's. We'll try that.
I like the alliteration. It's great.
And it's, I know I love an alliteration. So I have to, that's how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's got the three C's, because like you said, the accidental, that's where I kind of found myself. I had like a coffee guy and an exporter guy. And at one point I had this, they're lovely people and I love them, which is why I think I ended up, they're an organic bedding company. And I think I was answering their customer service line at one point, because they asked me to, and I loved them so much. And I'm like, what am I doing? This is so far off of what I should be doing right now. And it's a recipe for burnout and for just hating your business, which is like not a good thing if you're unemployable like me, or if you just really have to be independent and you want to be an entrepreneur. So, so yes, you can absolutely be strategic about it. And it's so easy. So I'll just jump into it and I'll tell you how it works.
It's
the three C's of rapid referrals, right? The three C's of relationship marketing. And it's connection, or sorry, clarity. It's clarity. Mm-hmm. You have to be clear on what you do and who you do it for. And that's going to evolve all the time. This framework's in a circle. So it's iterative. And it really starts with being clear on who you are, what you do best, who you do it for, and why. Like the why is really important, because I don't think of referral partners as referral partners. I think of them as allies. Like we are on the same side on a mission to go change something in the world. Like if you're not in business right now, trying to do something to change and make something in the world better, why are you here?
Yeah.
Go get figure that out. Like figure that out.
Money.
Yeah.
It's if it's easy way, just get a job.
And I think the core values are a really big part, like understanding what your core values are and what drives you. Because if money does drive you, you're going to have a really hard time connecting with people who don't have that same core value. You're just not going to be motivated by the same things enough to build the kind of rapport that's required to actually send somebody business.
Yeah. And so, I think that's a really important point as well, because when your partners have the same values as you, then it means that their audience have those same values.
Exactly.
That connect with you. And I think values as marketers, you probably, like we've both no doubt been through many times with the company sitting down going, what are the values? And they're normally like these like fluffy words that get brandished around, like we value this, we value that. But it's like, okay, let's stop with all of that, because it doesn't really mean anything. Like they're just words that you're putting in there, but what actually really matters to you? And you might only come up with two or three max. That's totally fine. And it can be as simple as something like time, like time as an entrepreneur. If this is not one of your core values, then I have to ask you, you know, what are you doing in this place? Like time is, for so many people, a really core value. And it's so simple. And it's like, you want your time, you want your freedom, you want to be able to do the things you want to do. That is a value then. And I think that the word values gets so clouded and put in this you know, like corporate-y space, even as entrepreneurs, we're like, you know, what are your values for your brand? And they come up with all these words. It's like, no, but what are you actually living and breathing by? Like, what are the things that 100% matter to you that really resonate with you? Those are actually your values. It's not about these fluffy words. So I just,
you're right. We need a better name for them, like drivers. Like, what is driving you in your life? Because they're written all over your life. What I discovered when I sat down to do my own core values, because I obviously at the time was a little bit lost after, like, who am I? Where am I going? I don't even think I'm good at anything anymore. Yeah. That kind of deal. But when I really sat down to look at it, it was written all over my life. Anywhere that I felt compartmentalized or angry about something or resentful, there was something offending my core values, my drivers. And and when I'm really passionate about something, it's something inside of me that's driving me to feel that way. Why? Right.
Exactly.
So when you put that into the context of your business and you figure out how you want to transform your clients and what you want that to do for the world, then it's really easy to go out and find connections, which is the next one. So clarity and then connection. You have to connect with people. There will be probably existing people in your network who fit this bill, but your ideal referral partners are going to be either complementary service providers or shoulder niche peers who do something different than you, but in the same, for the same purpose or for the same type of client. Having that alignment with those people, it makes it easy to build rapport. And then you become invested enough in one another's success. Like it's a relationship. It's friendship. People are not going deep enough, I think. And that's a big misconception I'd like to squash, is that it's a numbers game. I had two or three great referral partners that whole time I was niche and it was working, right? And actually one of my girlfriends told me, one of my biz besties, I've known her for 25 years. And we've been kind of along the same business lines for about 15. And she told me recently that she figures in the last 10 years, 80% of her revenue has come from introductions and referrals directly from me.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. It's
quality. So they just have to make sense.
It's like
they have to make sense.
Yeah. And I think that that's the thing, you know, something that I've seen as well is if you actually just put the time into a smaller amount and make sure that they're really good partners. Like you say, they're very aligned to you. They're aligned with values. They're aligned with audience. They're aligned with what they do, so that there's a synergy there between you, and put in that time and effort to actually really support them and have something that makes it easy for them to be a great partner, you know, make it easy for them. Then it works, but you don't, like you said, that's such an important point. I love that you mentioned it. It's not about the number of partners that you have. Like that's not going to make it more successful. It's like you actually only need a small number, but it's about the quality of that relationship and the time you put into it.
Yeah. And people work with people they like. People do things nice for people they like. And it has to be reciprocal. We can't go into these relationships thinking, okay, what can I get out of this person? Now I'll be nice for a little bit, so they'll do something for me. And that, like, if you align with somebody and you want to see the same change in the world as them, and you look on their website and you see that they value freedom and connection like you do, and they want to empower women, maybe. I mean, that's what I look for. So if I listen to a podcast and I hear a woman talking about something that's interesting to me, and I see that she might have the same clients as I have or be in the same industry, I'll connect on LinkedIn, because that's a really great container just to keep in front of people. I'll go on LinkedIn and connect and say, hey, I loved that podcast. You and I are very well aligned. We should connect. And then that conversation is really easy to have, because it's not about what can you do for me. It's about, I like what you're doing. I appreciate you. And everybody, who doesn't want to hear that?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And like, we just need more of that in the world, because I don't know about you, but just the number of people jumping in to a brand new, fresh connection, and it's all just about them and what they want. Which is basically literally you to buy from them. It's like, please, like, let's not start there. Like, this is not.
That's so funny you say that. I rarely post on LinkedIn because I just don't enjoy it. I enjoy spending time in the comments section of other people's posts and like my own rare posts. And I spend more time probably in Ravel now, that my online community, than I do in LinkedIn, because there are 100 or so women in there who are amazing and we're having all these conversations. And those are you know, my people.
Yeah.
And so, but Sunday evening, I got what you're talking about, one of those aggressive DMs from somebody who was a new connection. And I actually posted about it because I was like, it's Sunday evening. I get on LinkedIn thinking it's going to be somebody I know saying hi or something like that. And it's like, hey, have you seen that new offer? We'd like to do this for you. And it was like, I have a new rule. I'm just going to block you if you do that to me. Cause yeah. That's rude.
Yeah. It's so hard. Like I kind of get really, what's the word? I'm not sure how to respond sometimes because I'm like, I have not put up my hand and said that I need this. So are you now looking at my business and telling me that you think I need it based on something that you've seen? Or are you just like doing a broad brushstroke, usually templated, because like there's so many that are very, very similar. They've obviously copied it off somebody's course or whatever, and they're just sending you this. It's like, just stop and think about this for a minute. How would you feel if you got this message? Like, are you thinking, yay, I've been waiting all day for this. Amazing. Something I don't even want. I haven't said that I
wanted. How did they know?
Yeah. And one guy I went back to, I can't remember what I said to him, but I was like, look, mate, this is, you know, I don't have a need for this. And it's not a great way to start a conversation by assuming that I do, because you're kind of offending me. And he's like, I said, in cold outreach is other ways, you know, if your method is so great, why don't you use it to actually attract your clients? That's what you say that you do. But here you are in my DMs. And he goes, I've made $50 million in sales doing this. And I'm like, really? And you're in my DMs DMing a total stranger that you don't even know even wants what you have. And you're trying to tell me you make $50 million in sales. I don't think so. Like,
and
you know,
honestly,
who are they kidding?
There's no way that could be true. And what's at what price?
Yeah.
Like, he wasted your time. I think that's just, that drives me crazy. I'd like to throttle whoever's out there teaching people to do that. But again, that's maybe their jam. That's fine. I just prefer they stay out of my DMs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know, it's, I don't want to say no one should ever do it, but it's like, there's a way that you could do it and it could work and that's fine. But I think that 90% of the people out there, they're literally just trying to jump over the whole process of the marketing piece and the relationship and going straight for the sale. Like, whoa, you wouldn't do that in any other situation in life. You wouldn't walk up to someone on the street and go, hey, will you marry me? It's like, whoa, hang on. We're like, right? What about the date? What about all of the other stuff that happens in between?
We're so, like, as consumers, and I think even as people, we're so much more guarded these days. It takes longer to build relationships online, especially, right? Mm-hmm. So even making friends at the grocery store is a little more difficult these days, if that's the kind of thing you like to do. Yeah. I'm usually have my earbud in case I see somebody I know, so I don't have to talk because I'm exhausted from Zooming all day long. But it's harder. You know, we used to have 7 touch points in marketing before you would build enough trust to make a sale. I heard it's like 22 recently. So think about that. If you want to attract an amazing client, because we all know how crappy clients feel. Mm-hmm. If it's just not a good fit, it's just a nightmare. Yeah. We want amazing clients who appreciate our process and the good work that we do for them. And we don't want to have to convince them that we're the right person. So when somebody comes to you and says, hey, do you know somebody who can do some content writing for me? And you say, oh my God, yeah, I know this. I know Melissa. You have to talk to Melissa. She's the best. And you genuinely know that. Melissa doesn't have to work for that sale. She's getting online and they're asking, how much do you want? How much do you charge?
Yeah.
Not, well, how do I know you're any good? Or will you deliver? Are you going to be reliable? Can I trust you? Because your trust transferred over. And it's so beautiful. It's so easy. And it doesn't take that many referral partners to make it work. And actually, I don't know if you've heard of Dunbar's number. Robin Dunbar's a behavioral scientist, and he's figured out that there's only Dunbar's number is 150. Mm-hmm. And that's the number of people you can maintain any kind of close relationship with at one point in time. 150. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone beyond that, like the 1,000 people in my connections on LinkedIn or whatever, those are just faces I recognize for the most part, right? And if you need to be really, really close and connected with your referral partners so that they remember to refer you, 150 is about, like, there's probably 15 max, I would say. So find the good ones and let go of anybody else who isn't a really great fit.
Mm, yeah.
Because
if, yeah, and we if don't they, need it. right? Like, yeah, how many clients do you need? How many referral partners do you need to get those? Like, as you said, it makes the process a lot easier. And it's a really nice way to have some business coming in where you can still do your own, you know, clarity. Like, are we really the right fit? Even though it's been referred, like, let's make sure that we're, you know, we are a good fit. You still do that. But like you said, it can just make that process a lot easier. When you're talking about LinkedIn, I'm keen to have a little chat about this because I've been on it since my corporate days. It was always like the, you know, the place that you have your pretty online profile. And there's lots of people in my network that I'm still connected to from those days. So I probably get a bit of a mixed bag in my feed. Like, I've definitely been trying to follow and connect with more entrepreneurs. But I still find, as opposed to a platform like Facebook, or, we know, even when I'm on Instagram, obviously I'm connected with a different crowd. And I just find LinkedIn really hard going. Like, the stuff I see in the feed, I'm like, ugh, like, okay, like, yawn, bore me already. There's no one's really being themselves. No one's showing much personality. Like, a few people are maybe, but I find it hard work. So you were telling me before we got on this, you're like, yeah, like, LinkedIn making it really fun and like a really great platform, but not doing what most people are doing on it. So what do you do on it that makes it fun and makes it a good place to connect? Like, what should we ignore? What should we, like, not bother about? And what should we do?
I love that question because there's so many shoulds. Like, you should do this on LinkedIn. You should do that. And I just can't stand shoulds. Like, we need to question everything we think we should do because somebody has told us and they have an agenda. So I just wrote a 5,000 word, and this is actually funny. I wrote a 5,000 word article about how to have more fun on LinkedIn because I was just feeling so passionate about, like, this can be fun. We can do this, you guys. And then I accidentally published it as my first newsletter. Which, I don't know who sends a 5,000 word newsletter, but apparently I do.
Love it. Why but not? Just, because, like, should you? Well, who's to say whether you should or not?
Yeah. Right. Perfect. Right there. Exact. Great example. Yeah. Maybe it works. But yeah, one of the first things, because I'm like you, I've been on LinkedIn forever. And as somebody who, you know, went in-house and then went freelance again and went in-house and then started a business, and I bounced around trying to figure out where I'm going for a while. And I've got a lot of mixed up people on there and old bosses I don't really want to talk to and people who turned out not to be very nice, or, you know, foreign contacts that I accepted and then forgot about or whatever. So the first thing I did when I decided to jump back into LinkedIn was to go in and clean house. It took me like 6 hours spread over three. And I know this doesn't sound fun, but I promise you this is so, it makes it so much nicer because right now LinkedIn's just a container. And like, you tell the by your behavior, you tell the algorithm what you want it to serve you. And it can be different for each of us. So maybe you're, you know, somebody really influential and you have a massive container. I don't really want a massive container. I want a small one that feels more comfortable to me. I didn't want to feel weird posting stuff that I didn't feel vulnerable enough to share with people I don't really care for anymore, or, you know, it didn't feel good to me to post. So I had to create a container that made me feel comfortable, made me feel like I wanted to go there. I went from over 1,000 contacts to less than 500, like 420 maybe, or something like that. And it took a while, but I went down the list and I was like, would I want to talk to that person today? Do I know them? Do they care about what I care about? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And now I'm more picky about who I connect with and who I follow, because that's what shows up in my feed. And when it's when it's down to just, you know, a handful of people that you actually want to see their content, you learn to know, you get to know them more, and then you care more about what they're up to, and it's more interesting to go there. And when you comment, like, half the time I comment on somebody's stuff and I'm not connected with them, they'll connect. And then you have all these comments and comments to go to respond to, or DMs that are actually DMs you want to read. And so you start wanting to go there because there's conversation that's interesting happening there and actual relationships developing.
I love that. I think that sounds like a really great thing to do. And I suppose once you've cleaned up your list, your connections, then what you're seeing in the feed is actually things that you do want to be commenting on and responding to, which right now I think is probably not happening so much for me. Every now and then I see one that I do engage with, but there's so much just nonsense in mine. Yeah, that's probably the right way to then make LinkedIn feel relevant and a great space to be in. And then, like you say, that's kind of just an organic step into then people connecting with you and having a conversation in your DMs, it's not, hey, I do this, do you want to buy my services? Yeah. Which it, right. Yeah, it really gets tiring.
Invest a little bit.
Be there.
it make it a little bit more human. And I don't hang out. I probably spend maybe 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes a day on LinkedIn. Like I'm on TikTok probably more than I'm on LinkedIn just because it's entertaining. Yeah. And I don't know if we'll ever get all the stiff corporate types to loosen up enough for LinkedIn to be super, you know, entertaining all the time, but it can be meaningful to be there if you're connected and having the right conversations with people. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, this actually brings us to the third leg of this framework for relationship marketing is community. We have to take things off of LinkedIn eventually. If I see someone who wrote an article or is being interviewed on a podcast and I think they're fascinating and I need to have them in my network, I'll go to LinkedIn and connect with them because that's the easiest place to get connected.
Yeah.
People hate email. I don't think people are as open to connecting on Facebook and Instagram as they are on LinkedIn. And they're already thinking about business. So it's a little bit more of a natural leap to make. And I just reach out and say, hey, I love what you're doing. I think you're amazing. We are well aligned. We should be connected. And 9 times out of 10, they'll connect. I'm not trying to sell them something. I'm telling them, I think you're amazing. We should be connected. And then you have the conversation and you're interested in them already. So it's natural. And then you get on a Zoom call, say, hey, we should connect. I'd love to hear more about what you're doing. And then you build that relationship really organically. And then pretty soon you find yourself, like I put everybody I wanted to stay connected with in a different container that, you know, Ravel, which is easier for me and more fun. And I can create the kind of environment that I want to have in there. Yeah. So you can create your own community or even a text thread with 3 or 4 people or a Voxer thread with 3 or 4 people can be really a really fun container to build relationships in.
Yeah, that's so true. And so do you find, like, because I guess your framework is we're talking about the referrals and having really, really good quality ones coming from the right people. You know, I totally get the clarity, which is really niching, right? Being really clear on what you do, who you do it for, why, so that, you know, you've got that right alignment happening. And then the connection piece, is the community like a really strong part of that referral? Like, do you use, you know, like a thread or a group chat or something with your referral partners as a really key piece to how you keep that referral relationship happening, like keeping them up to date with what you're doing, or, you know, how does it support the overall piece?
It seems to be that there's an inverse relationship between how well you know someone and how niche you have to be. So like I've known my friend Melissa for 25 years, almost 30 now, actually. And we know each other really, really well. So I can refer her, even if it doesn't say on her website and she hasn't told me what she's doing. If I know she's got bandwidth and I know she can do the job, I will likely refer her if she's the best person, I think, for the job. But nobody else would know that she's the right person for the job if they hadn't known her for 30 years.
Yeah.
So you kind of, obviously you have to have your network up to date with what you do. But yeah, I recently put together micro networks, curated micro networks inside of the group, because I do think it's important to keep things small and relevant. And, you know, we have 100 women now, and I don't want to exclude people from being a part of this community if their values align, because as women too, we're busy doing the family thing. We've got the second shift. We've got all the unpaid mental labor that I'm rallying against right now. We're tired. We're trying to run our business. And who falls off first? Our friends, our community, the people like we are. I was really lonely for a really long time in business and didn't even realize it. And what happens, I think, when we're lonely like that is we're looking at everyone else online and it looks like they're doing everything right and we're not there yet. And when you get connected with women intimately and you build like that kind of close friendship with somebody, you start to see that you're kind of all a junk show. Like nobody's got it all figured out. We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And also, you know how we get imposter syndrome? We like it's really hard to see what we're good at when it's so natural to us. Mm-hmm. But our community can reflect that back to us and say, God, you know, you're so good at that. How do you do that? And you're like, doesn't everybody do that? So it's so good for us to be in community. So I created these micro networks. They're networks for complementary service providers. For example, like one of them is Agency Allies, and everybody in there, their ideal client are agencies and they're complementary service providers. So we've got a bookkeeper in there. We've got a COO for agencies, like a fractional COO. We've got some content marketers who work for agencies, that kind of thing. And so they have a mastermind once a month and they stay connected to one another and they have a private channel. So they're building really specific strategic relationships inside that community.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that that's the thing, is that there is so much going on, and those kind of relationships do fall down, or, you know, you kind of can find yourself feeling lonely and looking at it all on your screen and not really, when you connect with someone on that more personal level, yeah, they might have lots of stuff together and be doing really well in some areas and it's great for inspiration and motivation. But then, you know, everybody's got something that they're working on that they're like, oh, I'm really struggling with that right now. And it makes you feel a lot more human. You don't feel like you're on an island on your own on this, like, oh my goodness, it's just me who's struggling. It's like, no, everybody has stuff that they need to work through.
It's not just the struggles. I mean, I think what's really interesting about Ravel that I didn't expect was that everybody's really willing to come in there and say, hey, what should I do? Like, they ask questions. It's sort of, and of course the referrals, like, I think just a couple of days ago, one of the gals came in and said, hey, I need a content writer for this project. Does anybody know somebody who knows anything about this niche? And, you know, half a dozen people tag somebody else. And what was really interesting was somebody said, oh, I know a great gal. I'll connect you if you want. And the person that posted the question came back and said, thanks so much. I'm going to check out everyone inside this community first. And then if I still need someone, I'll go with whoever's outside. So, like, that kind of loyalty that it breeds for referrals is really interesting.
That is good, isn't it? And I think it's like, you know, the amount that you, even though you might not really know someone because you're in a bigger group, you know, in a group of 100, there might be a couple of people that you maybe chat with more than others. But it still is a form of connection, which means that you've got that little bit of recognition, and, you know them to that small degree. Yeah, I've seen your name, or I might have seen a post here or there. And it does just help put you in that better place of thinking, well, I do know something about you and you're active in here, and that leads to more trust. So
the community part's really important, because in psychology, there's this thing called the mirror exposure effect, which basically says the longer you're exposed to something, the more you're going to have preference for it. So when you first, it's like, have you ever heard a song on the radio for the first time and you're like, meh, turn the station, but then you hear it again and it's sort of in the background. And by the time you've heard it three or four times, you're washing the dishes, dancing, you know, singing to it. And you're like, how did that happen? But I see it happen with people who, you know, maybe seem to rub each other the wrong way the first time we're in a like connection call or some kind of networking call. And then I find out 6 months later that they've like gone to the Bahamas together or something.
Wow.
And I'm like, how did that happen? Yeah. It's just like exposure over and over again breeds preference. And that's where you get the kind of investment in someone else that makes them willing and happy to make a referral, and they know you and they trust you. And that goes a long way.
Yeah, that's so true. And I see that I've got, you know, a free Facebook group, but I also have groups within my program. And because it's a lifetime access program, you know, the members stay in there. And it's so interesting because you see the ones who've been there for the longer period of time, they're back and they're chatting and they are still asking questions and feeling like it's a safe space, but they're also really helping respond to some of the newer members that come in. And
it creates
this really amazing supportive environment that, you know, you just don't get that when you're on your own. And I love that aspect, because people don't come into the program thinking that's what I'm coming in for. They come in for, you know, I want to learn how to do the marketing strategy. I want to really learn how to get clients. And then they actually are like, wow, I didn't even realize that that was going to be so influential and so amazing part of it. But it's what they, you know, they time and time have said to me, wow, that group was just incredible. Like, it just made me feel so supported and so well understood.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it? So yeah, understand why connection part number three, absolutely.
It really is. But what's interesting is too, that there's kind of a relationship between each of those things. So, you know, you've kind of gone around the circle now and you're back to where community is bumping up against niche, like clarity. So that's where the referrals happen, is if you're super clear and you have someone that you're in community, quote unquote, with, like, you're, you know, each other really well and you're in the same community, that can be a text thread, that can be LinkedIn, whatever. live down the street, whatever. there, that should result in referrals. You trust each other and they're really clear on what you do. And of course, because we were strategic with the connection part, they have access to your ideal clients or have the ability to refer you. But if you're not niched or specialized, you can have as much community as you want and they can have access. But if they don't know what you do, how are they going to tell someone to go pay you for something?
Mm. Well, if you're not clear, they're not clear, right? And so
exactly.
They can't then identify, well, who should I refer this person to? I've got someone who needs help. Like, who should I send them to? And if you haven't been clear enough that they don't have that really clear vision in their mind of what you do and how you help people, they're not going to make the connection between the two dots. And so it doesn't work, does it? So,
And then going around the circle again, the connection, like if you're not clear on who you are and what you do and why it matters, it's harder to make connections because it's not really obvious to the other person why they would want to spend time networking with you.
Yeah.
But if you're clear, then you know who to reach out to and they know that they should probably reciprocate that connection and make it happen because it looks mutually beneficial.
Mm, that's so true. Yeah, I love that. Amazing. And well, I think we've just covered so much. And we can talk for hours on all kinds of
things. Hopefully it wasn't too all over the place.
No, I think it's a really great place to wrap it up because we've talked about referrals, why they're important, what you actually need to get really good quality ones. So it's not just like random referrals coming in. You know, I say to so many people, referrals can be an amazing part of your business. You do want your own way of having leads as well. But, you know, if you've got a really great referral network, they're sending you quality things. And it's just about, like you said, connecting with the right people. So this has been really valuable, really insightful chat. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Kara. And if people want to connect with you, where can they best do that? Like, how can they, you know, find you? Where should they reach out and learn a bit more about what you're up to?
I'm easiest to find probably on my website at karasteinman.com. But I also love to connect with people on LinkedIn because it just saves them the trouble of having to go find me on LinkedIn then. So LinkedIn is the easiest. Yep. And I guess you could probably put the link in there somewhere, but it's just whack Kara Steinman.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. The links will be in the show notes. So drop down there. You can find Kara on her website or over on LinkedIn and connect with her. Like she said, she likes to connect with people who are aligned and who are like-minded people. So this episode has resonated with you, then she would like your connection and we'd like to know about it too. So drop us a review on the podcast. We'll share that with us on LinkedIn as well. I am there too. Like I said, I'm there. I'm going to learn to love it a bit more than I have in the past, especially with Kara's help. So thank you so much, Kara. Is there any final piece that you wanted to share? Do you think something, a takeaway point that you want someone to finish on?
Yeah, you know, I would like to mention that there's a little bit of fear of competition when we start getting connected with people who look like maybe they do something that we do. Uh-huh. And I'd like to throw out the possibility that there is no competition because we are all so different and unique. And there's no way that that two people are going to bring the same strengths and values and story and purpose and ability to transform in the same way a client to the same place. Like there's going to be a difference. So I would encourage people when they see people who look like maybe their competition to look at that as an opportunity instead to say, ooh, how might we be different? Because those are the easiest connections to get connected with because you reach out and you say, hey, we are very well aligned here. I see what you do. I do it too. But I think we have different clients, different ideal clients. I'd love to connect and see if we might possibly be able to build a mutually beneficial referral relationship. Like I might be able to send you referrals. Nobody says no to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And you are so right. It's definitely something that I like to talk about as well, because you are one ingredient in your business and no one else is like you. So that whole place, you know, when you're feeling like there's competition, it's probably because you're still looking at the surface level of like, I offer this service and it's this price. And therefore they're in the same band as me. They're a competitor, but it's like, well, like you just beautifully explained.
There's so many layers.
And like your ideal clients, even though you might be playing in the same kind of area, they're not going to be the same people as other people's ideal clients. And if it feels like they are, it just means that maybe both or
dig
one
deeper.
Of you isn't being specific enough.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to dig deeper and to refine your own process. I know I've had offers over the years that ended up not being like, that's a process, a way that I offer a transformation, right? That I don't offer anymore because it wasn't a good way for my personality to operate over and over again. But somebody else might offer something that way. And there are people who need that too.
Exactly.
So
yes,
that's all. No competition.
No, we are all unique unicorns.
Yeah. And we can accomplish a whole lot more together.
Yeah,
than being separated from one another. So
I love that. And it's so good. You know, there's been times where I've had someone on a sales call and I thought, you know, they're not the right person for me. I'm not the right person for them. Like, this isn't a great fit. And it's really wonderful when I'm like, hey, you know what? I know somebody who's probably going to be a really great fit for you. I really recommend getting in touch with them and having a chat, because I love to be able to give them, instead of just leaving them with a dead end, like, you know, I don't think this is going to be the right fit for us. I can actually give them where to go next and save them all that time of like looking and trying to figure it out. And
yeah, I mean, and I've heard,
really great to be able to do that.
I've heard people say that you don't owe somebody anything and you shouldn't feel like you're obligated to do that. But if you're networking and you have people, that's a really great opportunity to build reciprocity with both sides. And reciprocity is really powerful. I don't really believe in paying referral fees, and I don't take referral fees because I think it really messes up the reciprocity cycle. I've had clients that paid me a retainer for things that I really think I would have rather had the reciprocity built up. I think it would have been more valuable over time to have just made those introductions or done that thing for them and saw where that went eventually someday, because it's really powerful.
That is a really great question and thought, I think, to leave people with as well. Like, you know, what does it look like? What if you are just referring people because you're making connections, and then that comes, it happens both ways, you know, what you give out, you get back tenfold. So that's just a lovely way to look at it. I know that there's lots of people with different affiliate programs and things like that. And, you know, they have a place, they've got a time and a place. And, you know, I think that it's sort of applying, well, with your business and with your type of service and what you're doing, is it appropriate or is it actually not? And maybe it even makes it harder for someone to refer to you because they're
I've seen a couple of works. Yeah. And like you said, there, I think affiliate marketing has its place, and there are definitely like different buckets that these things fall into. But I have seen with service-based businesses, some things go wrong with referral fees too. Like somebody pays somebody, you know, $17 for a referral fee on a $5,000 contract. And the person's like, wow, I think I really would have just rather had a thank you at that point. Cause it feels like a little bit like, really? Like, doesn't feel like the right amount there, but that's subjective, right?
Yes.
And then also I think it can breed a little bit of doubt in the client's mind, perhaps if they find out that you had an agenda. I mean, you have to be completely transparent. And even then, subconsciously, are you going to refer somebody because you know there's something in it for you, as opposed to it just being the right thing to do for that client and that person? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I love those questions. And it's definitely something to reflect on and maybe even journal on as well, because
just to think about.
You know, think about, well, you know, how does it feel? What feels right to you? And, you know, what is that
like? What feels right to you? Like, that's a big part of it too. What, I'm not super organized. I don't like repetitive tasks. I don't like following up on things. I'm not trying to track somebody down for a referral fee either. I would rather just let it go because it's more work for me to think about how that's going to happen later. So, you know, what is your personality? What does your heart tell you?
Yeah,
there you
exactly. go. And finding the way that just it works for you and is easy, because that's really
that's how it should
be.
The
more that we can release and let go and, you know, and not have to stop and try to figure something out, you know, it's really just stopping the flow of life and things happening.
Yes.
Yeah, really good. Thank you so much. I love this little extra added bonus that we've had on the end there with some really great questions.
It was a lot.
Stayed with us to the end. I hope that you're kind of going away going, wow, I've got a bit of journaling to do. I've got some questions to ask myself and, you know, what might this look like for me and my business? How do I want to run relationships and you know, the way that I do it as well? What is the best way? So thank you. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kara. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being here with us. And thank you for being on She's a Business podcast.
Have you ever considered just how much easier your business would feel if you had committed, you know, ready to work with you prospects dropping into your inbox automatically every month without you having to go looking for them? Well, that could be entirely possible. Imagine no ads, no sleazy cold outreach and DMs, no hours and hours spent scrolling social media looking for leads, and definitely not sitting around waiting for the odd referral to drop into your lap. This is about your marketing strategy that turns you into a magnet for committed, high-value clients who are exactly the right fit to work with you and actually ready to work with you as well. So please come and join me for my very short but jam-packed, full of excitement, live training called The Magnetic Formula. This is the only time I'm running this training this year. Come and join me live. It's happening on September the 7th. Mark your diaries. Come and join me, and I'm going to share with you the proven formula that I use and that I teach my clients as well through my programs on how to become the magnet. So you're drawing in those right people to you, and you don't have to spend your precious time out there hunting down sales. I know we all have time that we'd much rather be spending with our families, for ourselves, doing something else. And that's exactly what being in business is all about. It's about creating the life that you really want. So come and let me show you how. Head to jessicaosborne.com/magnetic. Or drop into the show notes. I put the link there for you. Come and get yourself on the list. Register before all the space is gone. Seats for this training are limited. It's online, yes, but it has got a limited capacity. So make sure you get your name on the list today so that you don't miss out. And I'll see you there on September the 7th.